So Bob said, my name's Nick, and I'm one of the pastors here. And I wanted to help us to pray this morning. We have got this month of prayer. Hands up here who would like to pray better. Hands up here who finds prayer a little bit difficult. Yeah, I think we're probably all pretty common in that, aren't we? So we're all in the same boat here this morning, aren't we? Let's pray, shall we? Father, we just want to thank you for all that you are doing, Lord, all that you've done in this last couple of years. What an extraordinary thing. We're here in this building, Lord, and we are together, Father, these two and a bit churches, Lord, that you've melted together into one in really the most remarkable way. We thank you for the fellowship that we have. We thank you for all you're doing in the community. We thank you for the baptisms that there have been, Lord. We thank you for Christmas. Thank you for all those children that came to the Christmas party, Lord. Thank you for the potential in this area, Father, of people that can be touched with the love and power of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, we open our hearts to you today. We just say, Lord, we are so needy, Lord. Father, part of us wants to serve you. Another part of us finds it hard, Lord. But we thank you. Give us your Holy Spirit to help us in our weakness. Open our hearts today. Open our ears. Give us faith. Give us courage. Give us encouragement. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So my subject this morning is growing in prayer, which is something that I think probably, you know, we would admit we all need to do. And we've been studying the life of a man called Nehemiah. And Nehemiah had a project. And his project was to build the walls of Jerusalem. He got news that all the walls of Jerusalem were broken down. And the thing that God put in his heart was very simple, was to mend those walls. And last time I spoke, I took from Nehemiah 1, verse 4. And it says, so it was when I heard these words, this is Nehemiah hearing the news about the terrible state of Jerusalem. He said, I sat down and cried. I sat down and he had actually, we think, never been to Jerusalem. It wasn't like his childhood city, but he knew that he was a Jew. He knew that that city mattered. And somehow it got into his heart. He wept. He mourned for many days. And he was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. A remarkable person, you have to say. I call him the weeping, mourning, fasting, praying man. Amazing guy. And it's an amazing story, really. But he was no different from us in many ways. And so instead of rushing into the job, this is what it says he does. In Nehemiah 1:5, and this is the verse I want to really concentrate on this morning, mainly. And I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Immediately, he doesn't get it all planned. He doesn't rush off to Jerusalem. He immediately gets his eyes upwards. We're going to talk a bit about this later. He, as it were, got out the telescope and looked to God. And he said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God. That's why we're praising God this morning. That's why we're singing, How Great is Our God. That's why we're singing, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord. There is no better place to start a day or to start our church than to start in praise of our Almighty God. And I pray that God will give us a greater revelation of him. That's what we're praying on these Tuesdays and Friday nights, that God will reveal himself to us. Nehemiah was, before we ever heard of this, we know that he was a man of prayer. Prayer, if you read the book of Nehemiah, it's all over Nehemiah. In fact, the closing verse of Nehemiah is this. The closing words, it says, Remember me, O my God, for good. And he says, Lord, I've done this. They did that. I've done this. Lord, remember me. Remember me for good. And there's this conversation going on all through this building project. It appears that from a commentary I read that Nehemiah prayed for 4 months before he did anything. And it only took 52 days to finish the project. So for 4 months, he has this time of being before God. And something was happening in his heart during that time. And then only 52 days to finish the project. What is prayer? What is prayer? Prayer is many things, really, isn't it? But a very, very large part of prayer, and for me, I think the most important thing about prayer and my own prayer, prayer is a meeting with God. That's what prayer is to me. And for Nehemiah, it was the same. It was a meeting with God. So for 4 months, he was meeting with God and something was happening in his mind and in his heart. If you read Daniel 11:32, it says, "They that know their God will be strong and do exploits." There was no way that Nehemiah could do this. They were an oppressed people in another land. He didn't have the resources. He didn't have anything. But a miracle happened, and God gave him favor with the top man in the world at that time, with Artaxerxes. And he gave him the equipment, and he gave him protection. And he said, "Nehemiah, you go." God had an amazing plan, but it was all worked out in that 4 months of prayer before. They that know their God will be strong and do exploits. We pray this, don't we, for Bassett Street Church in this area. We pray that God will do exploits. What is an exploit? Anyone like to hazard a guess? What's an exploit? Anyone know the word? What do you rank, Daryl? You good at words? Heroic action. I like that. Exploit. Anybody else? What's an exploit? They did exploits. Sorry? Great things. Yeah. Extraordinary things. Amazing things. Things that you couldn't possibly do yourself. They that know their God will be strong and do exploits. We feel so weak, don't we, very often. I'm at the far end of a flu, and I felt weak. And life throws things at us, and we feel weak, and it's good because it draws us to God. But as we know him, that's where our strength comes from. And if there are any exploits to be done in this place and in our lives, it will be through God. God must work in us if he is to work through us. What about your 4 months? What's going on in your heart? What's going on in your relationship with God? Prayer is where God puts things in our hearts. So during that 4 months of prayer, this is what was happening. We read in Nehemiah 2, verse 12, "Then I arose at night." When eventually he leaves, Artaxerxes gives him permission and the resources to leave his city and to go all the way to Jerusalem. And he arrives there at night. And he said, "I arose in the night, I and a few men with me." So he just got a few people on their donkeys and they went round and to look at the walls of Jerusalem. He said, "I told no one." Nobody knew the plan that God had put in his heart. "I told no one what my God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem." Ruth was just sharing about the community groups. We're very excited about this, beginning to spring up. Why? Because God is putting things in people's hearts. If he wasn't putting them in their hearts, it wouldn't be worth doing. We'd run out of steam. There are some people working with the children today and the teenagers, and they make sacrifices and they plan, they pray, they use their own money and resources. They get worn out. Why do they do it? Because God put something in their heart. I came this morning and there'd been a forgetting of keys. I had a key, and so there were some cold musicians standing outside waiting to serve. Why do they do it? Because God has put something in their hearts. What is God putting in your heart for this world, for this life? He surely has something for each one of us. I want to just talk about prayer really being a journey. It's so much as a journey. And I find this image of a journey really helpful, because if you kind of think like, okay, I wasn't a Christian. I am a Christian. This is what it's like. And there's this kind of big leap from kind of nothing to superhero. It's impossible. But life is a journey, and God knows that. So he leads us as little children along the journey with amazing grace, helping us on every step. And prayer is a journey. It's likely it starts small and grows. That's why I want to talk this talk this morning. It's called Growing in Prayer. Romans 8:26 says this: likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Why? Because we don't know what to pray for as we ought. We don't know how to pray. I feel I've been a Christian 40 plus years now. Incredible when I think about it. And yet, I come to a prayer meeting, I don't know how to pray. I wake up in the morning and I feel like I don't really know about this. I'm not an expert. We never become experts in prayer. There's a weakness about it. We don't know how to pray as we ought. But the incredible good news is, it says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Do you want the Holy Spirit's help? Yeah? If you want the Holy Spirit, just put up your hand and let's pray. Holy Spirit, we are weak, Lord. We don't know how to pray as we ought. Once again, we pray today, Lord, help us in our weakness. Teach us to pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to just share just a few little steps in my own life. I thought, well, if I can't talk about my own life and what is real to me, then it's probably not going to mean anything to anybody. On the other hand, I don't want you to copy my life. Because if there's one thing I've learned about prayer is it's very individual. That your prayer life is going to be very different to mine. And the person sitting next to you, it'll be very different. It's a very personal thing. It's a very individual thing. But we can glean things from one another, can't we, in the journey as we go along. So I just want to share just a few things that I found helpful. First of all, in 1974, when I asked Jesus into my life, the man who led me to the Lord on the Monday, I don't know how it happened with the post, but on Monday, it happened on the Sunday, that he must have found some special post office, but on Monday morning in the post, in my school, was a set of Bible reading notes and a little bit of paper written on one page just saying, try setting apart 10 minutes a day. And I started to do that. And amazing Bible reading notes. What this guy, who's called John Edison, had done, you probably no one will ever have heard of him. But he wrote a little booklet with 30 of the best passages of the Bible. And so that was a really good start. So every day I read those passages. And the Bible immediately became alive to me. I'd been a Christian. I'd been in school chapel and different things. I'd heard the Bible a lot in my life. And to me, it was a very boring book. But the moment Jesus came into my life and the Holy Spirit was there, it just started to come alive to me. And so day by day, I read those little passages and a little comment at the end, and I learned to pray. And that was the utter foundation of everything, is giving God a bit of time every day to pray and to read your Bible. Okay. Another thing was really praying with others. There was a little group of Christians at that time. As things grew, there were a lot more. But actually, at that time, there were a few fervent Christians in the school, 16, 17 years of age. And they prayed a lot. So I was born into a praying community. So whenever, you know, like between lessons or at the end of the day when we were together, you know, one or two wise young Christians said, let's pray. And we just prayed together. And how much we learned to pray, praying together. Take the opportunities. You know, we are praying on these Tuesdays and Fridays. And I know that some people can't make that. But make other opportunities. The coffee morning, the Friday coffee, it's a different clientele to Tuesday night. But it's very precious and very special. Now, people, wild horses wouldn't drag them away from the Friday morning. There's only, I don't know, maybe a dozen people that come along to that, but it's so special. And they're learning together to pray. So learn from one another. After I've been a Christian a few years, I'm just going to mention a few things here, but one thing was somebody put into my hand a book called Learning the Joy of Prayer by a guy called Larry Lee. Again, probably you've never heard of this guy. But for me, it really touched my heart. And what this guy did was that he was trying to teach his church how to pray an hour a day. And he had this thing, you might see it at the bottom of the book there, could you not tarry 1 hour? By the way, tarry is Old English for wait. Could you not pray? So what Jesus said, I think, to the guys in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to Peter and John and the others, could you not wait? Couldn't you just pray for an hour? So this guy thought, well, actually, that must be achievable. And so they started to learn to pray. And the way that he taught them was that he taught them the Lord's Prayer. So he said, like, spend, 10 minutes praying, Our Father. And think about, God being your Father. And the first thing starts with this relationship with God, that everything springs out of me saying, Abba, Father, Daddy, God. And so, for 10 minutes, he taught you how to do that. And then the next day, you try and do another 10 minutes. Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And so we lift up our eyes to the God who made the heavens and the earth. God's greatness, his majesty, the fact that he is eternal, that he is unchanging, that he is pure, that he is holy, that he is all-powerful. And so you begin to build worship into your prayer life, an adoration and appreciation of who God is. And so it went on. I'm not going to go through them all, but it taught me the Lord. It gave me a hunger to read the Lord's Prayer. Since then, I've read several books on the Lord's Prayer because I love the Lord's Prayer. And even this morning, when I woke up this morning, I was praying about the meeting, I was praying about my talk, and I almost instinctively was just praying the Lord's Prayer. My Father, hallowed be your name. Lord, you're holy, you're amazing. Lord, would you reveal yourself to us this morning as you are. Let your kingdom come. Let us please not come to church today and be unchanged. Could something happen for your kingdom in our midst today? Let your will be done in my life. Help me to share what you're saying, not what I want to say. Your will, not my will. Give us some bread today, Lord. Give us some daily bread. And then maybe he showed me a couple of trespasses. And then prayed that, that God will bring unity in the church. And deal with unforgiveness and different issues. And so by the time you finish praying, it's quite a long time has gone by. And I found that this was instrumental in me, understanding the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer saves us from so many things. It saves us from imbalance. There are lots of things in the church that people preach, like you might call it a one-trick pony. In other words, they're a one-issue Christian. And so they have a certain way of doing things, and that's their big thing. But the Lord's Prayer is so comprehensive, isn't it? And it brings a balance to our prayer. So I'd recommend anybody to pray, God, teach me how to pray the Lord's Prayer. And then one day, Paul Hickman came along, and we were talking about prayer, and he said he'd found it very helpful to read a book by a guy called Ole. I think that, or is it Ole? I don't know. Norwegian. Anyone Norwegian here can tell me, how do you pronounce that? Any Man U fan? Solskjaer. Ole. Okay, yeah. That's what I thought it was, actually, but it sounds like, oh, you know, old Hallersby? but he wrote a book. He was a Lutheran pastor in Norway, but he wrote a book called Prayer. And I learned something in there. If there's one thing I got out of that book, it's that he started the book with Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. And he said this remarkable statement at the beginning of the book. He said, this is the greatest verse about prayer in the Bible. And I thought, No. This is the greatest verse for evangelism in the Bible. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart and you let him in. But actually, it was written to Christians, not to non-Christians. And what he was saying is that Jesus is knocking at your heart today. He's knocking at my heart today. So when you wake up, you think, oh, I've got to wake God up. He doesn't really want to hear me this morning. God! But it's not like that. He's actually already knocking at our hearts, waiting for us to just say, come in, Jesus. And he wants to come in and he wants to sup with us. He wants to eat with us. He wants to feast with us. Yes, sure, he wants to come in and rearrange the furniture. And he's probably got a few things to say when we let him in. But he wants to come in. He's knocking. And he said, he described it this way. He said it's like the oxygen in the atmosphere. It's pressing in to our lungs. That we are surrounded by oxygen everywhere, aren't we? And all we have to do is, and in it comes. And it's harder to keep the air out than to let it in, actually. And there's a pressure on us to pray. I find if I haven't prayed by the end of the day or late in the day, I feel really, uncomfortable, miserable, a bit bored. I probably get a bit ratty because it's so natural, this. He's knocking, this air, wanting to come in. Lord, let's open the door to him. So I found that really helpful. And in a way, it changed prayer into more of an experience of meeting with God every day. Another time, somebody recommended, probably my wife, the autobiography of George Muller. Great fan of George Muller. And there's just one little passage in there, in his book, which to me was absolutely life-changing. I'd noticed over the years, people that I knew, particularly men and women of God, have been greatly used of God. They seem to have this same habit. And I'd noticed it. But George Muller, it says this, in the spring of 1841, George Muller made a discovery regarding the relationship between meditation and prayer that transformed his spiritual life. Okay, that sounds a bit boring, doesn't it? Meditation, maybe you find it exciting. But yeah, not an instantly exciting word. But whatever this thing was, it transformed his prayer life. And he was already praying pretty well. So, this is what it says. The first thing I did, and this is the habit that he got into his life, every day of his life, he started always to pray this way. And the answers to prayer, has anybody ever had more extraordinary answers to prayer than George Muller, if you read the autobiography? It's incredible. The first thing I did after having asked in a few words of the Lord's blessing upon his precious word. So he's got his Bible open in front of him, and he's saying, Lord, bless this word to me. Was to begin to meditate on the word of God. That means think about what you're reading. Not reading lots, just reading a bit. Searching, as it were, into every verse to get blessing out of it. Just like, for example, I was thinking this morning about that expression Jeremiah says, your words were found, and I ate them, and they became unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. And so maybe George Muller's sitting there and he's reading that and saying, I found your word. Lord, thank you. Thank you that I found your word. Thank you that your word is here to find. Thank you, Lord, that it's your word that you are speaking to me today. Thank you, Lord, that you want to speak to me today. Lord, I've got to preach your word this evening or whatever he was doing. Lord, please let me understand your word. Lord, would you bless your word to my heart? Could I speak your word with effectiveness and power in my own life? Your words were found and I ate them. Lord, thank you that your words are to be consumed. So they go down into the innermost part of my being. That they become delicious to me, like I have taste buds. Lord, make your word taste good to me. Let it feed my spirit. May it go into my veins. May it make me strong. searching, as it were, into every verse to get blessing out of it for the sake of obtaining food for my own soul. The result I've found to be almost invariably this, he said, that after a few minutes, my soul has been led to confession, to thanksgiving, to intercession, that means praying for others, to supplication, which means asking for things, so that though I did not, as it were, give myself to prayer, but to meditation, yet it turned almost immediately more or less to prayer. So he went to it to just get food for his soul, but God turned it into prayer. I think over the pandemic, if there's one thing that's really got into me, is that the Holy Spirit is in God's Word. I wonder if I've got that verse somewhere. Did I put that one in? Yeah, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by God. Another verse, translation is, all Scripture is inspired by God. Everybody know that one? All Scripture, it's like John 3:16, but 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by God. Another translation says, all Scripture is breathed into. Literally, the Greek word means to breathe into. So it means, who's got a Bible? Anyone got a physical Bible? There's one over here. Yeah, there's one down here. Could I have that, Thomas? This is a Portuguese one. Biblia Sagrada. Every word, God has breathed into this as he moved upon the hearts of the men that wrote this book. Every word has got God's breath in it. There's a connection between God, the Holy Spirit, and his word. So when we're reading the word, expect to meet with the Holy Spirit. People I know who are prophets, they have a great relationship with the written word of God because it's the same person that wrote it. And we need to get it deep in our being. And so Muller really helped me with that. And so I find, if you want, if somebody said to me, Nick, could you pray? I will go away. And the first thing I will probably do is open my Bible. And I'll just start to read it. And I find that God is speaking to me through it. Because I expect it to happen. One last thing to look at was a book which I was going, you gave me this, Bob, didn't you? Gave me a cookbook as well, Christmas and birthday. I was just checking it was him. Praying like, can you find that one, Peter? There it is, Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. Kind of modern title that, by a guy called Tyler Staton? I've no idea. Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. And I just wanted to, there was something really helpful. Like I was saying, you know, often you just read a book and there's just one thing you get out of it. And I expect I'll get more out of it, but I got this out of it so far, which I think might be helpful. I've written it down. I've got it on my phone. I'm just going to read this out. And the thing that he says in this chapter is, pray as you can. So this is to encourage you. Pray as you can. In other words, start where you can. If you can't pray for an hour, he says, great. Don't try. It'll feel like an eternity. Pray for 5 minutes, but start somewhere and pray that you'll grow. Pray as you can, and don't try to pray as you can't. Don't try to pray like I pray. Pray as you can. My wife and I have very different praying habits. Jo wakes up in the night, she prays. She learned one day that I think it was somebody in the church recommended that if she woke up in the middle of the night and couldn't get back to sleep, she should pray. And she pretty much invariably does that. So a lot of her praying is done in the night. I find that quite difficult. But that's not me. And he says here, if you zone out every time you try to pray at home, pray while you're walking. If you can't concentrate enough to pray aloud, write down your prayers. And sometimes I find there's so many things going on in my mind. Maybe I'm anxious about something, confused about something, I just got a lot on my mind. I will actually write out my prayers and my thoughts. I'm reading in the Bible, I write them out and I pray them to God. There's so many different ways, but start somewhere and find your thing. For me, we've got a tree in our garden. And just one tree, kind of falling down. It's a little garden, just at the back of the garden, but actually there's a little space between the tree and the fence. And during the pandemic, when my son was home for a few months, he's a big presence, and there wasn't a lot of room in the house. And so, but I had to pray. I must pray. And so I formed what my daughter calls a nest, Dad's nest. So I got one of the chairs, I stuck it behind the tree, and I went out there, I got a nice flask of coffee, bit of an old man thing this, isn't it really? Got a nice flask of coffee, sat down in the chair, and I could look out and see nature. And I just found it was somewhere I could meet with God. And I've been out there on very cold days. So Joe's thought, he's mad. He's mad. But that's just me. It's just the way I do it. There's a churchyard up the road. If I get bored and I'm that kind of person that, you know, I can't stay in one place for too long. And sometimes I go and I find a bench in the churchyard up there. And I just take my Bible and I pray for 10 minutes. And that's the way I do it. But what I'm saying is, do what you can. Start where you can and pray. Genesis 24:63. Isaac went out to meditate in the field towards the evening. He had a time and he had a place. He used to go out in the evening and meditate. What was it for Jesus? Rising very early in the morning, he had a time. While it was still dark, he departed and went out to an isolated place. He just wanted somewhere where there was nobody around. It was usually the wilderness. There he prayed. Sometimes it was the Mount of Olives. Peter, do you remember? About noon, midday, what's Peter doing? The following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. For him, it was roofs at midday. I don't know what it is for you, but find somewhere, find time to let God touch your soul. Last thought. Listening to Pete Gregg, who has been very instrumental in helping many people to pray, and I'm sure many here have been helped by him. There's a wonderful thing called the Prayer Course. You can find it on YouTube. If you've got a small, I know one small group, they've been going through that. It's really helped them. And I think in the first lesson on the Prayer Course, he says, use the telescope. There it is. I'm sorry about the Santa outfit. It's the only one I could find. But anyway, hey, she's out there on Christmas Day looking at the stars. Use the telescope. And he said, you know, most of the time we've got the microscope out, haven't we? Looking at the detail of our problems, of our issues, of this relationship and that thing, whatever it is. And it all becomes so big in our minds. Someone I used to know, a man called Harry Greenwood, remember that, Daryl? He used to say, we make mountains out of molehills and then spend the whole of our lives trying to climb them. We make mountains. The little things become so big. And Pete Gregg says, put down the microscope. Pick up the telescope and look at God. And I just want us to go back to that verse in Nehemiah and just think about this for a second. And I said, O Lord God of heaven. Do you know, you'll find Hezekiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah. You find it in Acts. I don't know if I've got that down somewhere. Acts 4:24, when they're praying, all the church are praying, people are being persecuted. It says, when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. But they got the telescope out first, and then their problems seemed much smaller. And faith came into their hearts. So whatever you do, I'd suggest get your eyes on Jesus first in your prayer time. And Revelation 4:11 says, Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. So, let's pray, shall we? I love the things in the Bible where it gives us prayers to pray. The disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. In the Song of Solomon, it says, draw me after you and we will run together. David said, incline my heart to do your will. My heart doesn't want to. Could you make my heart inclined to pray? These are gracious prayers, aren't they? God knows we're weak, but the Holy Spirit wants to help us. Let's stand, shall we? I wonder whether the musicians, we just got 5 minutes left. Can we just sing a bit of How Great Is Our God again? Father, as the musicians are just coming up, Lord, we just want to utter...